Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for these gifts of grace which you bestowed upon us and give back only a portion of that which you have given. Bless the hearts and the hands who have given, Lord, and have a special anointing on those who wanted to give but could not. Lord, we ask that you use these gifts of grace for the strengthening of ministry here at Gila Mountain United Methodist Church for this kingdom and the next one to come. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Well, it's my pleasure to introduce Judy Nibelink. She has been in the UMW organization for 44 years and has progressed up the ladder from here and all over the country. So I'm glad to welcome her today, for her to come and visit with us and tell us about love like God.
Good morning. Join me in prayer, please. God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable. In the scripture this morning, we hear Jesus tell the disciples how God has loved him and how he loves them. He tells them that he has kept God's commandments and they must do the same. By keeping the commandments, they will stay in Jesus' love as he has with God. In doing so, his joy will remain in them and their joy will be complete. He is saying, love as Jesus loves. One of the things we are encouraged to do as United Methodist women is to share our stories. The things that make us passionate about our work, our relations with our faith sisters, and the stories of women who have led, nurtured, and encouraged us to follow in love and ministry through our work in mission. But we also have stories to share. God's story didn't end with the last page on the Bible, but continues today through each of us and all of creation. For this reason, I would like to thank the Gila Mountain United Methodist Women and David for giving up the pulpit today, for asking me to share a little about the amazing ministries in which United Methodist Women participate in here in our own communities and around the world. I once had a dear friend tell me that she wouldn't join United Methodist Women because they were just a bunch of old women who got together to drink coffee. This was a friend who was in her 60s. She had been a member of the Methodist and United Methodist Church her entire life. In disbelief, I wondered which United Methodist Women she was talking about. I have been in United Methodist Women since my 20s, and it has been women in their 20s, 40s, 60s, 80s, and even 90s who have mentored, nurtured, and encouraged me into new and exciting ways of hearing God's call in my life while discovering new and challenging ways to be in service and ministry in the world. It's never been about getting together to just sit around. I am truly in awe of these dedicated and committed women who welcomed me and who showed no fear when it comes to reaching out to the disadvantaged, persecuted, unloved, and least among us. Think about the word awe for just a moment. Have you ever had your breath taken away by one of our amazingly beautiful Arizona sunsets? Hues of brilliant reds, blues, purples, and pinks. Or how about when stroking the cheek of a newborn child or grandchild? How about the expectation of the sky lighting up from a 4th of July fireworks display and the glory of colorful lights filling the sky. Or maybe standing on the south rim of the Grand Canyon, looking down into the earth at the beauty of God's creation. When was the last time you experienced awe in your life? Just what is awe anyway? Awe can be a feeling, an attitude toward the world, often an experience that gets our attention in a special way, unexpected and surprising. Think about how young people use the word awesome. Sometimes we hear the word so often that we unconsciously dismiss its true meaning and power. Today, we're going to consider the real dimensions of awe. Awe is a realization that we're dealing with something bigger than ourselves. Some might call it an experience of God. When we embrace the wonderful power of awe, it has the capacity to change our perspective, to influence our thinking, and to propel us in new and powerful ways. Have you experienced this sensation of awe? I have, because that is how I see and experience United Methodist Women. Women of United Methodist Women have helped shape my vision of the world through a special lens of faith. So what makes these women different from other women in my life? It all started with a handful of women in 1869. That's exactly 151 years ago. A few women from the Methodist Episcopal Church in Boston gathered on a bitterly cold evening to hear the stories of missionary wives home with their husbands on furlough from India. The women shared about the horrific health and education conditions in India for women and girls. Education was only available to boys. There were no medical services for women or girls, not even in childbirth. That evening, after hearing the stories of the desperate conditions in India, the women, without endless committee meetings or an extended time of formal study, decided to create the Women's Foreign Missionary Society to do something to respond with action to what they had learned. Wow, that alone puts me in a state of awe. The women pledged to do something to make a difference by raising pennies for the mission field. They took immediate action to change the world. A few determined women of the church. By the end of 1869, the Tremont women, with the help from other faith sisters in the United States, had collected enough money to send not one, but two women missionaries to India. Dr. Clara Swain, a medical doctor who had served as a nurse in the Civil War before becoming a doctor, and Isabella Thoburn, an educator whose brother who was already serving as a missionary in India, heard the call and said yes. The two women, with great vision, few resources, the support of the Women's Foreign Missionary Society, and many prayers, traveled for months to India. They traveled by ship and cart. When they finally arrived, they opened a college for young women and a woman's hospital. Today, these two facilities are still ministering to women, youth, and children in India. I am in awe of these two amazing women who followed their faith and with the support of their faith sisters in America, acted on their belief that they could transform the world. They were two women who had a vision of a just world where all people are of value to God. They set out to change an unjust system where women had no worth or importance, to help empower and enable women to take on a meaningful role in their society. So, what about today? Do women of the Methodist movement have the same passion to make the world a safer, more fulfilling place, a world in which women, youth, and children become whole persons through God's transforming love? I believe we do. Through the years, we've kept the same dream and vision of our early mission sisters. We don't think we can make a difference. We know we can. And we work for a world that recognizes that all people are valued by God and that justice, peace, and empowerment are available for all of God's people. For this 2017 to 2020 quadrennium of the Church, United Methodist Women are focused on four mission priorities. These four areas of ministry include climate justice, maternal health, economic inequality, and criminalization of communities of color. Excuse me. Why these four, and why now? According to Luke 4, 18 and 19, Jesus begins his public ministry with this quote from Isaiah: God's Spirit is upon me. He's chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce pardon to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and battered free, to announce this is God's year to act. Our priorities reflect much of what Jesus saw as his mission. When floods strike or droughts persist, women are among the first to feel the impact on their lives and livelihoods. As managers of household resources, women may struggle to secure fuel, water, and food. As migrants and refugees are pushed from areas of climate stress, women confront greater risk of disease and violence. Children are often the most vulnerable to adverse health effects from disrupted living conditions or from environmental hazards. Rising sea levels are expected to increase coastal flooding. More frequent droughts will disseminate annual crop yields, leading to higher food prices and decreased air quality. While international efforts to tackle climate change have at times stalled due to political debates and disagreements over the actual cause, most scientific research presents sound evidence that human pollution sources such as carbon emissions have been major contributors to the increase in atmospheric greenhouse gases and subsequent global warming. As expected, industrialized nations are the biggest offenders of carbon dioxide emissions in the world. As women of action, United Methodist Women are working for legislation to make businesses and our politicians more accountable. We encourage action plans to counter climate change and other environmentally supportive measures. In our own homes and congregations, we recycle plastic, tin, glass, and paper. We buy recyclable and reusable products. Remember, I said we were organized in 1869 and mentioned that right away Dr. Clara Swain was sent to India to provide medical care for women. Health care for women and children remains at the heart of United Methodist Women today. We support health and family needs of women and children around the globe. Women are still dying in childbirth. Children continue to die from preventable diseases, and many communities have no access to health care. From Latin America to Africa to Asia, we work with other women and women's organizations to address adequate maternal care and to provide access to basic health care for everyone. We encourage opportunities for women in the medical fields. We set up crisis ministries for women who are victims of violence at home, especially during periods of war and conflict. We advocate for equality in services for women and children. We conduct educational workshops in healthy living for teens at risk and provide learning opportunities for mothers who need education on nutrition, hygiene, disease prevention, and basic health. And we provide counseling for trauma and mental health issues. Awe has the power to hold us in remarkable ways. As we look out on God's beautiful creation, we see how small we are in relation to the world. But we see how big our United Methodist Women's story is and how much we can do to bring about change in a hurting world when we get together in ministry. We really are an awe-inspiring outfit. United Methodist Women are engaged in education to better understand how our current economic instability is a result of specific policy choices that have shifted wealth and income to the top, made cuts in taxes for the wealthy, have cut corporate taxes, have made cuts to public services, have impacted employee pensions and benefits, have caused stagnant wages while the cost of living goes up. We have seen shifts to the private sector in everything from schools to the military to roads to prisons. These policies have eliminated many public sector jobs. Too many jobs pay minimum wage, which cannot sustain a family. Women make up 75% of those low-wage workers, and they disproportionately are women of color. The rising cost of higher education and student debt have put a heavy burden on both young people and their families. Real estate booms in many urban areas have driven up the cost of housing, while low and moderate housing programs are in decline. Despite important improvements in healthcare access, a health crisis can still become an overwhelming financial burden to a family. So what do we do as United Methodist Women? How do we respond to the vision held out by Jesus? We advocate for debt relief for impoverished nations crippled by their efforts to repay loans to other governments or international bodies. We work in support for the abolishment of sweatshops and child labor and call attention to United States businesses that profit from these practices. We support fair trade policies and products. We engage in living wage campaigns. And these are just a few of the examples in which United Methodist Women are working to make a difference. These are examples on a large scale, but it's not difficult to find local places where similar oppressive forces are at work. We don't need to go far to make an impact. has the power to connect our communities by our shared experiences. We are brought together when we work for justice. Today, the United States leads the world in incarceration rates, with nearly 2.2 million people in our jails and prisons. As women of faith, we are called to realize racial and economic injustice is now worse than ever. As United Methodist Women, we are studying and learning about the school-to-prison pipeline issue to better understand how children and youth of color are affected by systems and institutions. Many young people are funneled away from education success and toward the criminal justice system. Many of us wrongly assume that youth of color are more frequently disciplined or arrested because they commit crimes more often than their white peers. In fact, they do not misbehave more often, but are simply treated more harshly for similar or lesser crimes. Even when a student is not arrested, excessive and unnecessary out-of-school suspensions and expulsions hurt students. They miss out on classroom instruction and are more likely to drop out of school and often end up in the criminal justice system. United Methodist Women fight this issue of incarceration as a racial justice issue. Women, youth, and children are impacted by the racial and economic factors impacting mass incarceration. We are looking beyond simply reforming current policies and work for more transformative justice. United Methodist Women are also engaged in many other ministries here in our local communities, across the nation, and around the globe. We, the United Methodist Women, own and support 97 national mission institutes in the United States alone, providing services for those living on the margins of our society. We, United Methodist Women, own and support other mission facilities around the world. We, United Methodist Women, own the Church Center for the United Nations across from the UN in New York. That facility houses and supports and works with other faith groups from around the globe. We have staff in New York City and in Washington, D.C., working on legislation to deal with current critical humanitarian issues. We take seriously the message of Ephesians to do what God does, live a life and love extravagantly, just as Jesus. These extravagant lovers of life and creation are the United Methodist Women I am in awe of. Yes, many of us are older, and yes, many of us enjoy a cup of coffee or tea. But we really are mission seekers. We love ministries of mercy, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, lending a listening ear, caring for the immediate needs of a hurting world. But we recognize and understand that we need to work in ministries of justice as well, so that God's dream of a just world might become a reality and ministries of mercy will be required less often. We have the opportunity to experience awe in our lives, in our world, and in our communities. Awe opens us up and makes us aware of the possibilities that are there that are greater than we ever imagined. United Methodist Women, I am in awe of you and all you do. You have heard the call to be God's contrast community, a community different from what's common in the world, to embody kingdom living here and now. And you have stepped out in faith with determination and love. Wow, that's really awesome. Thanks be to God. Amen.